Education by the end of World War I had not had enough time to cause most Americans to think of themselves as just bit players in a bigger world, and the League of Nations failed. But New World Order concepts, given another quarter century, eventually prevailed. Immediately after the end of World War II, the United Nations, with the eager assistance of the Carnegie Foundation for International Peace and the Rockefeller Foundation, was chartered. Rockefeller purchased and donated the land in New York on which the UN headquarters was to sit. Thereafter, the idea of world citizenship, before national citizenship, especially as it served the economic interests of the purveyors of the New World Order, was forever a primary focus of American education. In 1927, Dr. Augustus Thomas, Commissioner of Education for the state of Maine, addressed the World Federation of Education Associations in Toronto about the plan to use the educational system in place to introduce the New World Order. If there are those who think we're about to jump immediately into a new world order, actuated by complete understanding and brotherly love, they are doomed to disappointment. If we are ever to approach that time, it will be after patient and persistent effort of long duration. The world must await a long process of education and building up a public conscience and an international morality, or in other words, until there is a worldwide sentiment which will back up the modern conception of a world community. In 1934, the Carnegie Corporation funded a report entitled Conclusions and Recommendations for the Social Studies, which stated that, quote, the age of laissez-faire in economy and government is closing, and a new age of collectivism is emerging. The implications for education are clear and imperative. This requires profound changes in the attitudes and outlook of the American people, especially the rising generation. A complete and frank recognition that the old order is passing, that the new order is emerging. Organized public education in the United States, much more than ever before, is now compelled, if it's to fulfill its social obligations, to adjust its objectives, its curriculum, its methods of instruction, and its administrative procedures to the requirements of the emerging integrated order. If the school is to justify its maintenance and assume its responsibilities, it must recognize the new order and proceed to equip the rising generation to cooperate effectively in the increasingly independent society and to live rationally and well within its limitations and possibilities. End quote. That's right. Before World War II, the government education system was given the task of slowly preparing us to accept the new world order with all of its ramifications. Note again that there were two crucial elements to accomplishing this new education goal: training to be good workers or good citizens, and conditioning to put the group's interests ahead of one's own. In 1946, Community-Centered Schools, The Blueprint, was published by Dr. Walter Cocking. It concluded that good members of society cannot be developed if they're ignorant of work and what goes into it. In the years which lie ahead, it would appear that the school is the only agency which society has which can be expected to accept this responsibility. It must be developing social and civic competence, teaching the student to understand his obligations as a member of the group, and to give wholeheartedly and unselfishly service to his local, state, national, and world government, developing understanding of and skill in the democratic way of life. The end results are that the school makes itself indispensable to all phases of community life. In the future development of school programs, the service program will receive increasing emphasis until the school becomes, in fact, the agency to which all people in the community turn for assistance. In 1951, concerned about the influence of international interests on American life and learning, Idaho Congressman John T. Wood spoke before the U.S. House of Representatives. Mr. Speaker, I am herewith appending an article bearing the title A Report to the American People on UNESCO, that's the United Nations Education, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. Just how careless and unthinking can we be that we permit this band of spies and traitors to exist another day in this land that we all love? UNESCO's scheme to pervert public education presumes to instruct kindergarten and elementary grade teachers in the fine art of preparing our youngsters for the day when their first loyalty will be to a world government, of which the United States will form but an administrative part. The teacher is to begin by eliminating any and all words, phrases, descriptions, pictures, maps, classroom material, or teaching methods of a sort causing his pupils to feel or express a particular love for or loyalty to the United States of America. children exhibiting such prejudice as a result of prior home influence, UNESCO calls it the outgrowth of the narrow family spirit, are to be dealt an abundant measure of counter-propaganda at the earliest possible age. UNESCO advises the teacher that the kindergarten or infant school has a significant part to play in the child's education. Not only can it correct many of the errors of home training, but it can also prepare the child for membership at about the age of 7 in a group of his own age and habits, the first of many such social identifications that he must achieve on his way to membership in the world society. End quote. Did you know that even kindergarten is part of the apparatus for replacing the parents and installing the New World Order?